This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us today. We all have been devastated by the news, by everything that is happening in Gaza. We're heartbroken and it's quite overwhelming. And I wanted to bring on two very dear and special and respected friends of ours who have firsthand account from what is going on in Gaza. We have today Sheikh Ibrahim Jermali, that has, mashallah, over 20 years experience in giving da'wah within the U.S. as an imam, as a director for Islamic schools, and as a professor. He is a frequent speaker for Islamic centers, universities, da'wah conferences, radio shows, and interfaith programs. And he has a B.S., master's, and Ph.D. in geology, as well as a master's and PhD in Sharia, mashallah, and he has been affected very deeply. He is from Gaza. His family has been there. He has lost many, many, many family members, and he's going to share with you some of the personal stories. And we have also and he has been a very dear friend to us for many years, over 30 years. And we have my dear friend, Rania Lewindi from Canada. She's a Canadian Muslim, and mashallah, she is the founder and CEO of Action for Humanity. She has been in so many different positions, mashallah, executive director for MAC, one of the first females as an executive with Nissa Homes, and she has been a principal for the past 9 years, mashallah, and she's dedicated her life to humanitarian causes. And we will hear more about the action that she has been taking, because they were on the scene from the very beginning in Palestine. They have an office in Palestine, and they've been there doing this humanitarian services. And so we will start off with Dr. Jermali and sharing some of the stories of what has been happening. Assalamu alaikum. And first of all, assalamu alaikum to both of you and welcome.
Alaikum assalam.
Jazakallah khair for coming on. And so Sheikh Jermali, if you could tell us, you are from Gaza and you've had family there, correct?
In fact, bismillah wa salatu salam ala rasulillah wa salam. Just few minutes ago, they contacted me and they said my nephew, another number, 24 now, my family got shahada.
Yeah.
He's 18 years old, and he got shahada just a few hours ago.
Sorry to hear that. You said you have lost 24 family members in Gaza, and these have been your immediate family. This must be so heartbreaking, so devastating to hear this all at once.
Yes, unfortunately. In fact, barely to speak to the family. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Before Fajr, my brother Ishaq, he called me. I tried to call many, many times. So he called me. Said, Ibrahim, so far in the area, he have four daughters. And also have the daughters have kids. I say, my daughters are okay, and the babies are okay so far. And then, and there is no, and they said, he's supposed to pray Salat al-Maghrib now. And he said, Ibrahim, we don't have water, we make tayammum.
Yeah, Allah.
More than 1 month, since the war started, it's making tayammum. And plus, this month, actually, when I grew up in November, extremely, extremely cold, plus a lot of rain. Now, when I call my brother, the kids, a lot, his grandkids crying so much. I said, Ishaq, well, why are you crying? And he says, Rahim, there's no water, plus the rain, and it's very, very cold, and we have nothing to cover ourselves.
Yeah, Allah.
That's why
I
choose here to visit, because it's cold here, to feel what they're feeling. But unfortunately, compared to them, is nothing.
Ya Allah, I feel we've all been impacted by this and we have been changed. And I know that minute by minute, we are thinking about them, we're feeling for them, not being able to even understand what is it that they're going through. And Rania, I know that you have, you've been on the scene, you were there in Palestine, correct? From the beginning of the...
No, I haven't been. I mean, I've been to Palestine many times, but I
Yes.
wasn't. First, I just wanted to give my condolences, Sheikh Ibrahim. Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. You know, Subhanallah. You know, what's interesting is that there are people who have family there, and of course, you can see with the Sheikh that it is very dear to him, as it should be. But all of us should feel that these are our brothers and our sisters and our mothers and our nephews and our nieces, you know, that are passing away. And I think many of us in the Ummah are really feeling it. Obviously, me being in the humanitarian sector, we have, we're actually, so I'm the CEO of Action for Humanity Canada.
MashaAllah, yes.
Alhamdulillah. And we are the only Muslim Canadian NGO that actually has registered offices in Palestine. Mm-hmm. So in Ramallah, and we have many staff in Gaza, subhanAllah. So we're there from the beginning. And I've done a lot of media and advocacy
around
the information there. I mean, no matter what videos you're seeing, the situation is far more dire. And we are entering, like the Sheikh was saying, into winterization.
Yes.
This is normally when we do winterization for countries like Syria, like Palestine, like Jordan, like Lebanon. And, you know, I don't know if your viewers know that, you know, subhanAllah, in Gaza, there's 2.3 million as a population. There are
right.
over 1.2 million displaced persons,
ya
right?
Allah.
Right?
Ya,
and,
right.
They were taking refuge in the hospitals. They were taking refuge in the schools. And we know that in the masajid, in the churches, and we know, subhanAllah, that nothing is safe. Right. We
nothing
just
is safe. Hospitals are being bombed, the schools.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just so there is no safe place for them.
And people don't understand, like Al Shifa Hospital, for instance, and now like it's been cleared out. But Al Shifa Hospital, that's one of the places that we were giving medical aid to and fuel in the beginning until we ran out of fuel. But Al Shifa Hospital had 60,000 internally displaced people
oh,
staying.
Allah.
When the IDF is bombing the outer courtyard of Al Shifa, they are bombing basically that refugee civilian population that
right.
they have displaced, right? And all of these people are out in the cold. So, you know, Sheikh Ibrahim is talking about firsthand experiences in terms of talking to people and
right.
talking to family and them being cold. It's beyond that. I mean, there's no water, there's no food. There's no electricity, there's no power. So even the fuel, like the diesel to even like keep warm,
right.
I want you guys to imagine they're outside, right? And so it's in general, there's about 500 trucks that would go in daily through the Rafah border.
This is before the incident.
Yes.
How many
that's
were going through?
500.
500.
Imagine 500
daily.
Yes, we're now like what, close to day 45, and there's a little over 1,000 trucks that have gone in. So basically the equivalent of day's worth without having this type of siege and bombing and genocide happening.
Right.
So the situation is extremely dire, and even those trucks, fuel is not allowed to be on them.
Ya
so
Allah.
I think that's really important, right? And one of the things that Alhamdulillah Action for Humanity has done is, you know, we specialize in sustainable projects other than
right.
Emergency aid. And one of the big things that we do is the photovoltaic water wells that have the desalination plants. And that is actually providing water right now to Gaza.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. To how many people? How many people are getting the
about
water
20,000,
right now?
About
20,000 people.
Yeah, yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. That's
so,
until
yes,
they...
please, Sheikh Jamali.
Sister, by the way, my sister Azza, she work in Shifa Hospital.
Right.
That is very, very important. There's not even one single truck enter from the border of Egypt to Gaza Strip, period. Impossible. A lot of social media and organization and this and that. I am 100% sure not even one single truck, medicine, or
ya
water,
Allah.
Or food enter. So yes, a lot of people on Facebook, they will have a video and aid for Gaza, but whatever the people giving to Gaza, not even one single penny enter Gaza right now. I'm guaranteed what I just saying. Unfortunately, Shifa, by the way, sister Halam, I born in Shifa Hospital.
SubhanAllah, you were born in Shifa Hospital.
And the Shifa Hospital, I'm 62 years. I born in 1961. Before I born, Shifa Hospital is there. Since the first hospital in Gaza Strip. And why they targeting Gaza Shifa Hospital? Mm. The Shifa Hospital is called Majma Shifa. Majma, all hospitals. The main center.
This is the center. Shifa. This was the center for all the other hospitals.
My sister Azza, mm-hmm. unfortunately, they got shot in her leg. She cannot even move right now.
But insist
to have aid in Gaza. She told me, because many people told me, they give some medicine for Shifa. They call the people here in America. And actually, and also, Safarullah, in New Zealand, they called me. I said, no. She said, nothing came inside the hospital. Nothing, period.
Ibrahim, I'm not talking about social media. We're an actual international NGO. So we have the regional offices. We have the report. So I can give you per sector. I can give you exactly how many trucks. I can give you, there are 365 trucks that went with food security, 135 that were multi-sector, 132 that were wash and water, and 165 that were health. So the total amount of trucks is 1,096 that actually crossed through. And so, this is, I can tell you, our own organization delivered to the Ministry of Health in Gaza, and that was delivered to Al-Shifa Hospital. And we are already inside. I'm not talking about a truck that came in. This is from our own warehouses, but I have from OCHA, I have the reports that come in daily on what goes in, what goes out, how is it going in. Right. So I'm not social media.
You're there. You have your offices in Palestine. And alhamdulillah, it's good to hear that there's some aid going, and may Allah bless your effort for what you're doing, Rania, and dedicating your life to this humanitarian cause. But like, as you said, there used to be 500 trucks a day. And now in 45 days, there's been only 1,000. So
what you're saying is important. A lot of, like, my own Action for Humanity does not have trucks being able to go in through Rafah. So he is making an important point, right?
Yes.
These are the UN. So the trucks that are, so let me tell you about how it works, because a lot of people don't know. So the trucks come into the Rafah border. The only thing that's been allowed in is it goes in through the Red Crescent, so the IRC, or the UN, so the UN UNRWA. And so if Action for Humanity has not been able to get a truck in. Any of these other organizations that are the ones that we're talking about have not yet been able to get trucks in. The only reason we've been able to deliver aid is because we're actually inside Gaza from the beginning, right? But if you're coming in, they're not allowing it.
Okay, so that's an important distinction. And that's why it's such a blessing that you were already established in Palestine and you were able to get this. I'd like to hear Sheikh Jamali more about this, just the personal loss that you have experienced, because this is not uncommon. I have many friends that have family there in Gaza, and losing that many family members. Just tell us about your own personal account and how this has impacted you. And I believe you have a sister who is a physician in Shifa Hospital. Is that correct?
My sister, she's a nurse, my sister.
MashaAllah. These are the heroes. These are the people who have stayed behind, risking their own lives and really trying to be there. Please tell us about your personal experience.
Before the war, three days, I spoke to my nieces, Mira, and she just become 11 years old. And she put hijab. The first time I was looking at her, I said, MashaAllah, you have so beautiful. I said, Khali, my uncle, I decide to put hijab because Allah ordered us to do so.
Ya Allah.
Because last Ramadan, I was with them in Ramadan. 3 months I stayed in Gaza.
Mashallah. Last family. Year you were with them.
Yes. And then she said, I said, inshallah, soon I will see you again next Ramadan. I will be with you.
Oh,
and she
wow.
said, she said, والله إن شاء الله أشوفك في الجنة يا خالي.
الله.
Three days before the war started, when the war started, Amira and Hashim, her brother, and Zakaria and her father and stepmom, because her mom died, six people in her house.
Ya Allah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I'm so sorry to hear about this, but you know what's comforting is the fact that you have family members who are committed to the deen, and all the Palestinians are really awakening within us what true tawakkul is, what true, just the hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. They are demonstrating it for all of us. And I feel that this is, Allah does not burden people with more than they can handle. And you see that these individuals, they are giants. Your 11-year-old niece was a giant, mashallah, putting on the hijab at such an early age, having that tawakkul and saying, see you in Jannah. So I feel what it has done, we always have to reframe and look at and see the wisdom of work, why we're going through this. I feel like we have united as a humanity, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We have, it has just made us more aware, more conscientious. I know that a minute doesn't go by without really thinking about them. Every comfort we have, every pleasure, everything that we have, it makes us be so much more empathetic. What have you noticed, Rania, with what has happened? Like, if you were want to see, let's say the silver lining or what it has done, have you seen a change in how people are responding to this?
Well, I think subhanAllah, the veil has kind of been lifted.
Yes.
So being in North America, I'm sure, the American rhetoric is far worse than the Canadian one, but similar lines. Mm. And I think we, as Canadians, we believed that we were part of a peace-loving country, that we stand for justice, that, justice will prevail. And even though actually Canadians polled, 77% of Canadians want a ceasefire and are calling for a ceasefire. And many of the protests, like I attend many of them, there's hundreds of thousands of people coming. And so the government isn't listening. And I'm someone who actually advocates also on the level of government. I met with the Deputy Prime Minister. I met with different ministers and different MPs. And, there's a big movement of people who are going to the MPs, not just Muslims, but Muslims, Christians, many Jews, even who are against what is happening, and they've made coalitions and they're really doing a lot of that advocacy work. I think when I look at this problem, if you look at it from a macro level, it's actually, there's three levels to it. The first is the destruction of the people, right? I mean, this is a complete eradication of the Palestinian population. We know that it is, one of the things with genocide is so hard to prove is intent, but intent has been made so easy by the Israeli government because of their tweets and the things that they're saying. And we know that they are targeting the civilian population. We have over 6,000 children who have been killed. You have, the numbers are in the, I think it's like 12,000-13,000 now. We have over 30,000 who are injured. The hospitals are not able to handle them. We know that all of these people are going to die. And on top of that, you have the amounts, thousands buried under the rubble. So we know that this is a genocide, right? And the world is quiet on that. And so the world leaders, especially in the G6 nations.
Right.
So that's the first thing. The second is the destruction of the infrastructure. And so they are hitting the hospitals, they're hitting the mosques, they're hitting the schools, they're hitting the water plants, they're hitting the farmlands, the bakeries. They are trying to destroy, and actually over 50% of the infrastructure of Gaza has been destroyed. So even as a humanitarian, thinking about rebuilding and what this will take is beyond anything I've ever seen and anything we've ever seen in the humanitarian sector. And it's going to be very important that we all pool together for the Gazan people. The third, actually, which is what is where we woke up, is the global silencing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the people who, if you even post something about Palestine, the shadow banning that's happening on social
media. It's happening right now as we're doing this event, yes, because exactly. I've done other events and, you know, it gets passed on. And subhanAllah, as soon as you mention whether it's Gaza, whether it's Palestine, anything, you do get shadow banned.
And accounts that are being shut down, people that have to. So that's from the social media side. From the media side, like I won't do an interview that isn't a live one. Right. I don't allow
people to cut because they can take excerpts. Right. And misrepresent yes. And you.
So, you know, any of the things that I've done have always been live. The other thing is even at schools, universities, your workplace, people getting fired, MPs, PPs yes. getting fired because they've spoken pro-Palestine. I think that there is a pushback on that. And we've realized that this freedom of speech is actually just a mantra, that there isn't freedom of speech.
No.
All lives actually don't matter, right? That when I see our government reacted to Ukraine, as we could have.
Such hypocrisy, such a difference.
So the world hypocrisy is very, very clear. The lines have been drawn when it comes to that. And I think that that's woken up the people. Like, subhanAllah, even on my IG, I have many of my followers aren't even Muslim. And the amount non-Muslims who are, are pro-Palestine and trying to support and trying to shout out the people who are trying to give donations, the amount of people doing BDS, right? There's been a massive surge in that. The amount of people who are now accepting Islam because
subhanAllah.
Of the Palestinian people.
Yes.
And I think this is, you know, one thing I want to say is I've been to over 50 countries. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
And there is nothing like the Palestinian people in their Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in their resiliency, in their sumud, like we say, in their perseverance, in their acceptance. Like, you know, Sheikh Ibrahim is sitting in front of us and he just lost his nephew or niece like an hour ago. And he's able to stand and do this video. This is
and give a lecture,
normal.
Subhanallah. Yes, exactly.
It's not normal, right? And subhanAllah, Allah has given them a faith. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all of that, the same faith. And, you know, subhanAllah, I want to say this too. We think that it's their test, but they've passed their test.
It's our
test. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask each and every one of us, what did we do when this ummah was tested? And we have to be able to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pass that test. And
you bring up such a great point, Rania, the fact that, you know, this is an awakening for us and we are going to see how are we passing our tests that are they're so much easier, right? And how we're going to respond to this. And mashallah, Sheikh Jamali, you know, really, you do demonstrate that resilience of the Palestinian people and being able to have such acceptance of the Qadr. And what could you share as far as like what is it that keeps you going, what keeps you, I mean, it's hard to experience one loss, you know, and if you have one family member that dies, how it takes months to overcome it and to pull yourself together. So how are you coping with this on a spiritual side and emotional side?
In fact, Sister Rania speak about we come together, even the Jews.
Yes.
My second language, by the way, Hebrew. Because I grew up in Gaza. By in Gaza, I have to speak Hebrew because we are under occupation. When I came to America in 1988, Gaza became free. And so my second language, Hebrew. Two ladies, I'm here in South Carolina right now, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm leaving tomorrow to Chicago because a lot of people invite me to speak about that. So in the airplane, two ladies, Hebrew, Jewish, they speak in Hebrew. And they run away from Palestine, run away from occupied land to come to America. Mm-hmm. And both of them, they speak, I'm listening. And actually I was listening in my ear, listening to Sheikh Al-Husari. My favorite sheikh, actually, he reads the Quran. I listen to him in the airplane, try to recite with him. And then they are speaking. I take my headphone, I will listen to them. I say, Wallahi, sister, Wallahi, Wallahi. They are complaining about Netanyahu. How dare he do like this? He's going to destroy the country. And everybody running. I'm talking about the real Jews, not the Zionism. The real Jews. Plus, a lot of rabbi a true rabbi. Yes. They are, because they know me, I'm from Gaza, and also I speak Hebrew very well. I speak that language. They invite me to the synagogue to speak. So not everyone except our government.
Yes, yes. And that has been an eye-opening experience, seeing the Jews stand for the people of Palestine. And, you know, because we do have a tendency to maybe generalize and to think that maybe like all of them are in support of this. And when they speak up and when they start saying not in my name, and they are being treated very harshly by the Zionists, they're being, there's violence used against them. And you see that their hearts are with us. And subhanAllah, this in itself is so critical to know, like you said, Rania, the veils have been lifted. We recognize who is with and who is against this. And I feel that humanity will never be the same. Honestly, I have never sensed this kind of an awakening and this level of, you know, the truth being spread. So every person who was sharing the post, every person who is spreading the news and doing the khid, it is having an impact. And when we see people that are embracing Islam, why? Because of the amazing any conviction of the Palestinians. And it's just mind-blowing. They are saying if they can have everything taken away from them and still say alhamdulillah, still thank God, then we want to learn that. So there is wisdom in what is happening, subhanAllah.
Yeah. Allah Azza wa Jalla يقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحيم ألف لام ميم حسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. Allah says in Surah Al-Ankabut حسب الناس, and the people of Gaza, they believe that very well, and I noticed that when I was 3 months with them last year. Say, we are believers, there is no trial, tribulation, hardship, and the key, فَلَعْلَمَنَ اللَّهُ who is a truthful person and who is a liar person. And the sister Rania just mentioned that. It's a veil now. Now, veil now everybody can see the truth now. The truth. Except some people, not their heart, like our government here, their heart is blind. Not their vision. Their heart is blind.
Yes.
May Allah protect us from that. Ameen.
Ameen. Ameen. Well, having the basira, having that vision is so critical in this process. And it is like the stories we used to hear, you know, about and read about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. They are actually demonstrating for us, because it's very easy to say, well, the people of the past and they had a different level of faith. But when you see it demonstrated, is really incredible. Rania, if you could tell us, like, what is it, you know, that needs to be done? Many people may be losing momentum. They may be thinking, you know, what's the point? They may be getting tired. And what is your message? Because I know that it's not over. We've had an impact already. And what is your message to people as far as what they can do and how to keep the momentum going?
Because I'm in the masjid now here. Last khutbah the Jum'ah, I told the people, خليكم متفائلين, be optimistic.
Yes.
خليكم متفائلين three times في خطبة الجمعة. I give the example خطبة الجمعة last week, 2 days ago, about عمار بن ياسر, عمار and his mom سمية بن الخياط. And صبرا آل ياسر. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم telling the people. So he see سمية and عمار. And Abu Ammar Yasir, and get torture and torture and torture, and Rasulullah telling them, sabran, be patient. The people of Yasir, inna maw'idakum al-jannah, the paradise is promised for you. And Sumayya, 70 years old, what she said, sabarna, ya Rasulullah.
Wow.
We are patient, and she got killed immediately between her legs. Imagine that. And that in Gaza Strip right now, that our sister Rani, as you mentioned, thousands killed and females. And imagine, Shifa Hospital, by the way, Shifa Hospital. I born in this in this hospital. I born there. In this hospital, for children, the hospital, children hospital, and they destroyed the children hospital number one first. Before this search, the children
unbelievable.
Hospital. Imagine that. And what there is a reason, sister. I tell the people Khutbah al-Jum'ah. There is a reason they want to make no Muslim be alive, fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Palestine, by the way, is not belong to me. Belong to us as the Muslims.
Yes.
Belong to us as the Muslims. They were telling the people that a lot of people get angry and they want to fight. Go. I said, no, we cannot fight. Number one, we are here. If you want to fight, go to Gaza. But we are here. Now, to speak our tongue, our lips is a weapon. Use it.
SubhanAllah. You make a very good point about being optimistic. I know that's what got you through your illness. SubhanAllah, you were ill, unable to move in the hospital bed many years ago, and you're still doing dawah, and your way out was being optimistic. Because as a believer, we have no choice but to be optimistic. And so that's a very powerful message. We have to stay optimistic. Are there some actionable items that you can mention to us, Rania, as far as like staying within, you know, like what we can actually do to move forward?
So you know, you talked about being tired, and there's this I think they call it compassion fatigue, which I think is, I know you're in psychotherapy, but I mean, absolutely ridiculous in my personal opinion, and I'll tell you why. Systemically, like, think about it. They don't have a break. People in Gaza don't have a break. And the minute that you get tired, I want you to think about them. I want you to think about if you were in that situation. Like, how hard is it to post on social media? How hard is it to go to Gaza? How hard? So I'll tell you, my staff have said this, and other people. So I know people obviously from Gaza also. The protests make a huge difference, because when you're showing them around the world that we are with you, we are protesting, we are not okay with this, this helps them. And this gives them that kind of extra push.
The morale, a boost of morale.
It is a boost of morale. So, you know, people who say, oh, what do protests do? It's not going to change the government. The protest is not for the government or for this or for that. Yes, maybe that's a byproduct, but it is for them. It is for us to show them that we will not stand quiet. We are not going to be okay with you being killed. We are going to go out of our homes. And you know, in Canada, it's quite cold now. Still, we're in our jackets and we are outside, and we are going to walk, and we are going to march, and we're going to shut that city down until people. So that's the first thing.
MashaAllah. Well, let me make a point on that. I mean, that's so critical for us to really truly be empathetic, because you can't be a believer until you want for your brother or sister what you want for yourself. And so reminding ourselves of what they're going through, the hardship, the difficulty, especially since it's winter, I think that really makes us be so, SubhanAllah, that really makes us be more aware. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum to her.
Nice to have you. MashaAllah. So your niece?
No, actually, we are in the masjid, we're at school, a Sunday school. And
may Allah reward you. MashaAllah, that, you know, you're getting news of family members passing away and you're still giving, you're still, MashaAllah, contributing. May Allah keep you strong. And what you're saying, Rania, is that these protests are not just, you know, it's not just for the government, but it is for the people of Gaza. When they see that we care and we are making an effort, obviously that is going to boost their morale and not feel that the people have forsaken them, because they are certain that Allah has not forsaken them. But when we can show up for them time and time and time again, that is what's going to keep them going. What else are you suggesting?
Right. And the test, like I said, the test for the Ghazans is different for us. So we have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, what did you do? So what am I doing other than going to the protest? So let's say you're able to. So I'm someone who writes editorials, for instance, for the newspapers or whatever. You need to write the newspapers, you need to write emails. These email campaigns are really important to your elected officials. I want everyone to understand that all of these people are actually elected. That means you have power over them, right?
Right.
And so your vote matters. Like, I have literally gone to MPs, and in the States, it would be your representatives, and said, we are not, as a community, going to forget. I will make it my personal mission that you not get reelected. So you need to educate yourself on who's voting with you, who's voting against you. That this issue is extremely important for our community, and not just our community. This is a situation of humanity.
And absolutely. And let me just say, let me mention something here, is that this is what the Jewish lobbyists have been able to do. And they have been quite successful because of their involvement in government, because of their lobbying. They have been able to be the voice. And
they spend a lot of money on it, right,
Halle? They spend money, exactly.
As Muslims, I know that you have CARE in, I know you have CARE. I don't know what your other lobby groups would be. In Canada, we have NCCM. We also have CMPAC. Donate to those organizations that are advocacy, that are speaking to the MPs, that may take people to court, right?
Right.
Like, these things are extremely important. The people who are like the sheikh who have people in Gaza, make sure that you're speaking to the media, get trained on it. Make sure that you're getting that out there. Educate yourself on Palestine. So a lot of us have these emotional reactions, but we don't actually know the history. We don't actually, we're not able to debate it. So make sure, there's a lot of educational videos out there. Make sure that you're watching them. Make sure that you're posting. There's a lot of Palestinian influencers and non-Palestinian influencers that you can get that information from. I know that I'm somebody, alhamdulillah, that posts all the time around this subject, so people can follow at Rania Lewendi or at AFH Canada. There's Khaled.
Please, if you could include that on the chat, and if there is, if you could do that, so whoever needs to, they want to donate to Action for Humanity, they want to get updates, and Sheikh Jamali, if you have a contact information that you'd like to include as well, because this way we can get people to actually take action from today, inshallah.
Yeah, and the other big thing too is, remember, we're educating ourselves, we're educating others. We need to call those MPs. If you can't write, you call. Sharing on this, and BDS is huge. Boycott products that are coming from Israel, companies that are supporting Israel. Make sure you educate yourself on that, educate others on that. We are going to be asked on how we spend our money, right?
Yes. And you know, that's going to be
that are supporting Palestine.
Right.
So the other thing too, not just take away your money from people supporting Israel, but also support the companies that are have spoken out for Palestine, support the companies that are you know, and give them, like, go buy their products, go to their businesses, all of these things. And I think it's important when we see the boycott list, it also,
it's so long.
Thank you. We have to also start producing our own things. There has to be Muslim things. The fact that we are so, everything is everything we put our money into, subhanAllah, is causing harm to our Muslim brothers and sisters. And I think this is very important. The other thing is,
before you move on, because this is so critical, Rania, in the sense that we are 2 billion people. We have to really recognize this. Being conscious consumers has never been as important as it is now. Right now, we can have an impact. Right now, Black Friday is coming. You know, they're saying boycott Black Friday. You know, you got to get them where it hurts, because it's all about finances. And if we all collectively choose not to support the companies that are supporting this genocide, then we are definitely going to have an impact. And it's incredible how now, actually, there's one lady was reporting on this. She was in Alberta, I think, Canada. And she said, you know, that is like the Texas of Canada. And she went into some grocery store, was very, it's like very for frugal people. And she said, it's, you know, not a high-end grocery store. But what she noticed is that everyone, almost 30 people, they were on their phone and they were checking to check all the products to make sure that it wasn't Israeli products. And she was just, you know, amazed by this. And we really need to step up. I know that there are many products that we have gotten accustomed to, many products that we love, but we have to love our brothers and sisters more, and we have to really,
especially as women, like, you know, the makeup, the creams, like literally everything I use almost.
That's
is
the big one.
All the luxury handbag, like everything. And so, and I've made the mistake too of sometimes not looking and then buying something. Like I was just in the UK and, you know, I did that by accident because you don't. So it's important to kind of, you know, really
be conscious.
Know what that?
Yeah.
The other thing is you need to educate yourself around humanitarian organizations and where you're donating. Yes. Right. So in Canada, we have something called the CRA, which is the Canada Revenue Agency. Go on there and look at the admin fees, the fundraising fees of organizations. Make sure that organizations are actually able to deliver aid. So don't lose hope in all organizations.
Sure.
Make sure that you're educating yourself on where you put your dollars, because you do have to donate. Like, that is not going to be built except with these INGOs. So it is important that we really kind of understand where we're donating and make sure that we do that. For those, you know, younger people who are on social media all the time, unfollow anyone who is an influencer who is
A big one. There you go. Yes. Okay. So I'm going to repeat that. Unfollow the people who are not pro-Palestine. They're going to feel it, right? Because they want the impact. They want to be an influencer. So if they see that they're losing, and those who are speaking up, because they are going
to follow them, they're going to feel it.
Their content.
Yes.
That's a very good point.
We do all put ourselves at risk when we're doing this. And, you know, we don't mind to do that, but it's important that, you know, there's a lot of influencers who have gotten a lot of clout on, you know, their Muslim content. And then now suddenly it's one or two posts about Palestine. No. You should not be posting what you're eating, what you're wearing, what you're whatever, when your Muslim brothers and sisters are on fire. And so it's important that we don't consume this type of thing. And then last but not least, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us victory. So it's not just about being optimistic. It's about having yaqeen, right?
Yes.
Yaqeen in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqeen in the promise of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And I hope that in my lifetime that I will see, inshallah, be free. And, you know, even if it is not in my lifetime, that I know with yaqeen that this will that this will happen, and that I make dua for it. I make dua that I be a part of it. I make dua that I be someone who mobilizes towards that. I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts what I do. I make dua that Allah accepts them to Jannat al-Firdaus. Makes of those people. And so these are the things that we can practically do. And so that we can look at ourselves in the mirror, right? And be like, you know what? I am trying to do everything that I can.
Right. Thank you so much. That was a very motivating list, you know, of action that we can take, that not to lose hope. You are making a difference. We need to keep going. This is just the beginning, right? This is just the beginning, because
it's a marathon, Hale. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Thank you. So it's not like, and the boycotting is not just for like, a few months. This is something we got to make a commitment. And Allah, like you said, is going to ask us, what was more precious to you, you know, this whatever it is, this product that you're using, this food that you like, or what they represent and your brothers and sisters in Islam. So,
and this woman, there was a woman that was just on Al Jazeera. Subhanallah, like I am someone who has lost a child, meaning like my daughter passed away, Allah yarhamha, and Allah gave me other children, alhamdulillah, but I can't imagine the loss that these women and men are going through. Like, this woman lost seven children. And, you know, she put her hand up in the sky and she said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Where are you, O people of the Arab, of North America? You don't want someone's dua to be against you on the day of judgment. You want that when making dua, you are the people, like, and when they make dua for those who are helping, that you are part of that you can be with them in Jannah, inshallah. And you can't do that sitting on your couch and acting tired and like not
and just scrolling, right? Because if you're scrolling,
and I'm someone, and you know, Hale, you've been with me, but I'm a huge coffee drinker, and the minute that I knew, and this is something very dear to me, but the minute that I knew that Starbucks was on that list, literally I stopped that. And Starbucks is something very small, whether it's Starbucks, whether it's the creams, whether it's the makeup, whether it's the clothes, I don't care. If you are going to be asked on the day of judgment that this made this person die because of the money that you, how are you going to look?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Chills.
Yes. And so it's not worth it. Wallah, this dunya is not worth it.
It's not worth it.
And they understand that. And we don't. Anyone who talks about compassion fatigue does not understand that.
You're so right. I mean, we really have to wake up and be more aware and recognize that every action we take we're going to have to answer for it. And I believe that it's brought about a new level of mindfulness, right? We need to be mindful about who we follow, who we listen to, who we're supporting. And really, mindfulness is the way to Jannah, right? So what I would like to do, there is a beautiful letter that a mother in Gaza wrote. And I would like to read this because it is so incredibly inspiring. And then I would like to end it with Sheikh, if you could then do a very beautiful dua that you do for the people of Gaza and for all of us to stay strong and to keep this fight. But this beautiful letter is from a mother, and she said, if Allah lifted the veil for you just 10 minutes and you could see the sky of Palestine, you would see a sight of wonder, waves of angels racing to ascend with the souls of the martyrs to Allah in a special celebration. I swear by Allah, besides whom there is no God but Him, the sky is filled with the scent of perfume. These people have completed their test in this world, so there's no need for them to stay in this world. Allah has chosen them for paradise. You see the painful images, don't you? But my messenger and your messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, swore by Allah that the martyr will not experience pain except that of a pinch. So just as if I pinch you by the hand, do not fear for them. I know you are saddened, so remember what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. No one in this world dies and wishes to return to the world except the martyr. The martyr wishes that they could die for his sake 1,000 times, to keep dying for his sake and come back. I am now seeing things in Gaza that if you saw them with your own eyes, you would die of joy. These martyrs are alive and eternally provided for by the Sustainer. So I felt that this is just a beautiful message of hope for us. And Sheikh, if you could please, if there's anything that you wanted to comment, first of all, from that beautiful letter.
In fact, many people in my family text me when the internet message more just like this, and even a lot, even my nieces, my nephews, my brother, I have five sisters in Gaza, and five sisters in Gaza and their kids and their grandkids, they always text me, and they always, they know they will be killed, they will be shaheed. I say, and I was saying, inshallah, we're going to see that, no, soon, inshallah. And that I feel they really feel the situation in Gaza. By the way, the situation in Gaza, not October 7th. Before that.
75 years.
Especially in Gaza Strip. In Gaza Strip, we have the border of Egypt, by the way. The border of Egypt.
Right.
Unfortunately, the government of Egypt, before the war started, is worse than anybody else.
Subhanallah.
The reason was that when I went to Gaza, I went from here to Cairo.
Right.
And then I actually, last year I went once, my son Abdul Rahman got married, no problem with that. The minute I enter second time, because I want to go to Gaza, wallahi al-azim, sister, they kept me in the police, with the police, 3 hours.
Cairo.
Why Gaza? Why you want to go to Gaza? Why? You are American? Not only that, they accuse me, I'm not American citizen. So, long story, but my point, Gaza under siege for years.
Yes.
For
decades. Yes.
And now, alhamdulillah, Sister Rania said, now the mask, there is no mask.
Yes, the veil
now we
has
see
been
the truth.
Lifted. Yes.
Alhamdulillah, the more me, you, us, the only us, Sister Rania said, we have to make dua. Dua is the best. The weapon is mass construction is the weapon.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
yeah, please, Rania, go ahead.
I wanted to also, Yani, subhanAllah, you know, one of the things too that the Ghazans were saying is we're not going to leave, right? Like, you know, they're being bombed. Yes. And even if they could leave, they're not. And, you know, I want to, you read something beautiful and it just reminded me of something. If you give me 1 minute, I'll read it. And
of
then
course. Yeah, please.
Sheikh, of course, can make a beautiful dua.
Yes.
It's nice to meet you, Sheikh, by the way. I didn't know you before, but it's lovely to meet you. But, you know, I was in Palestine and I was in the courtyard of Al-Aqsa. And you know, subhanAllah, if you've been to Medina and you get that, you know, that beautiful feeling in Medina. You
serenity.
Get this,
subhanAllah, yeah, I've heard that from people. Yeah.
You know, when you go into the courtyard, and I had the honor of getting a private tour by someone who is very well known in Palestine. I'll keep him quiet. And I said to him, have you ever thought, like, his four children had been jailed and tortured. He'd been in and out of jail. And, you know, I said, did you ever think to leave?
Mm.
We're walking in the courtyard and he picked up a stone in that courtyard. Mm. And he said, Sister Rania, I have a relationship with every single stone in this courtyard.
Yalla.
And so when I came to home, of course, I, alhamdulillah, I've had five children. I like to always tell my kids about what is going on. And you met my daughter, Aya.
MashaAllah,
And Aya, I told her this story and she had an assignment at university. So she's taking rhetoric and professional writing with, you know, peace and conflict studies. And she wrote this poem about
MashaAllah. And let me say that her daughter, this is the same daughter who did the TED Talk, MashaAllah.
Yes,
MashaAllah. Yes. Just so, such an activist, so confident. And it's nice to see the youth stand up like this. It's from the parenting, MashaAllah, in your example.
No, well, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not as good a parent as my kids. My kids are far better. But she wrote, so she was inspired by this and she actually had an assignment to write an ode to a rock. And so she wrote an ode to the stones of Palestine. To you, it may just be a stone, but there is a man in Palestine who has devoted his whole life to guarding the holy mosque in Jerusalem. He has spent so much time among the olive trees and the worshipers and the architecture. He says he has a relationship with every single stone in the mosque courtyard, the same ones that children use to defend themselves against guns and tanks and armed IDF soldiers. Sorry. He says to him, these stones aren't just stones. They are witnesses to the history and the religion and the Palestinian resistance. And, you know, subhanAllah, my daughter Aya wrote that, and may Allah
subhanAllah
always keep them resisting.
Ameen, that was so beautiful.
Yeah, subhanAllah. And may we be a small part of that.
Ameen.
And, you know, the liberation, inshallah, Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show
Ameen.
Us where Palestine is free, inshallah.
Ameen. Thank you for sharing that. That was very impromptu and it was so heartwarming. May Allah bless your daughter. Bless all. Ameen. Absolutely. And bless all our children and bless those who are struggling right now. And really this idea of believing that it can change, visualizing it. I like to visualize that all the Palestinians coming back to their homes and it's rebuilt in a beautiful way, inshallah. Sheikh, if you could lead us in a beautiful dua for the Palestinian people, for what's happening and also for all of us and for us to pass our test, inshallah.
When I was in high school, every Friday, me and my sisters go to Masjid Al-Aqsa, pray in Masjid Al-Aqsa, and go back to Gaza. Every Friday.
Oh, what a blessing.
The best time in my life when I go from Gaza to Masjid Al-Aqsa, pray and eat over there, especially kaik and za'atar. And that's
MashaAllah.
Our life.
May Allah bring those memories back, and inshallah, you're reunited with your family. And really, may Allah give you strength and all the people who have lost sometimes tens and dozens of family members. But please, we'd love to hear your dua, inshallah.
Inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم يا مغيث أغث أهل غزة يا رب والمسلمين جميعا يا رب. اللهم أغثهم، اللهم يا مغيث أغثهم وانصرهم نصرا قريبا يا رب. اللهم نسألك لهم الأمن والأمان والسلامة والاستقرار يا رب العالمين، وعوضهم يا الله. اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وخرجهم بينهم سالمين. اللهم أخرجنا من اللهم أهلكهم يا رب، أهلك طياراتهم ودباباتهم وسفنهم يا رب وجيشهم يا رب. اللهم كن معنا جميعا يا رب. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Jazakallah khairan. Beautiful dua. And Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh Jamali, for coming and in the midst of your loss, in the midst of your grief, and in the midst of all of this devastation. Really appreciate you coming and sharing your personal stories. And Jazakallah khair to my dear friend, Rania Lewindi, for coming. And mashallah, you're very inspiring. You have dedicated your life the past, I believe it's been 11 years, correct, for this?
Well, we've been, yeah, the organization has been now 13 years, alhamdulillah.
13 years.
Five, but in Canada it's been two.
Mashallah, tabarakallah. May Allah keep you strong. Thank you so much for coming, sharing the personal stories as well as far as the aid that is happening. May Allah strengthen you and give you so much reward for what you've done and for being an inspiration. Jazakallah khair. Any parting words? Anything you'd like to say before we end?
I just put in the chat for people, like our website is there, and to follow us. And I put some people that are talking about Palestine that they can follow, some of the accounts from Gaza and from the States and different places, in the chat.
Yes.
That people can follow. Please,
great.
Please make dua for us and for everyone and for the people of Palestine. And, you know, subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for everyone, and may Amen. They all be rewarded Amen. For everything that they do.
Ameen. You're like, you were such an inspiration for us with your yaqeen and acceptance. You know, I feel like this is teaching us how to be in this life. We're supposed to be strangers, right? This is supposed to be kind of like a
yes.
transit to the afterlife. And really, the people are demonstrating this, mashallah. Jazakallah khairan. I really, really appreciate your time in the midst of so much demands on your time. And may Allah reward you both. And thank you all for who attended.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Inshallah. Inshallah, see you soon in Canada.
Inshallah.
And we'd love to have you over, both of you, inshallah, in Dallas, Texas.
And
Jazakallah khair, everyone. Salaam alaikum.